scores and squares, we explain in this edition of the podcast. This is Todd Wright. I like to call this the Todd Wright Toddcast. Thank you for listening. We are recording this at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday, January 30th. We're in the bye week before Super Bowl 60 between Seattle and New England, a game honestly I'm having a tough time getting excited about. They both earned their way there, but just for me, not a lot of skin in the game. Either way, maybe I'll feel different next week. We'll do some sort of a podcast about it and recap where teams who made coaching changes are with their head coaching decisions, and we might have some more key coordinators in place by next week. Brandon Legal Group is your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. As a paid non-attorney spokesperson, they simply asked me to tell you they hope you never need legal assistance, but if you do, they are a full-service law firm, and they will offer you a free consult at 813-902-3576 or by visiting brandonlegalgroup.com. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, and I look forward to seeing Jeremy from Brandon Legal Group at my Good versus Evil annual golf tournament next Saturday at Rogers Park Golf Course. We're working with the TSA for the second straight year on Good versus Evil Todd Wright Tour 54. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. If you have golf inquiries, send those to toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Leading up to the national title game, when I did TV about the game, what might happen in the game, accurately said Indiana would beat my alma mater, Miami. Phenomenal run for a program not known for football, certainly more known for college hoops. With Indiana, Kurt Cignetti, Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman winner, on his way to the NFL. We presume he will be the first overall pick. We have time to discuss that in later podcasts. Over the Canes, who overcame many issues in recent program history to make a deep run at a national title under Coach Mario Cristobal and some terrific coordinators, some very talented players who played at a high level. I mean, Miami was one of the worst in postseason games for the last decade. And there they are. Granted, they didn't qualify for the ACC championship game, but they win three. It's probably more than they've won in the last, I'm going to say, at least 15 years. They were annually a team that would lose bowl games. They got embarrassed in an ACC title game along the way, I believe, to Clemson 10 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. And they win at A&M. They win a Cotton Bowl against Ohio State as a big underdog and then defeat Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl before losing in the national title game to a deserving undefeated champion in Indiana. So in that segment we did for Spectrum News, that show airs on Spectrum News 9 in Tampa Bay, Spectrum News 13 in Orlando and Central Florida. Dave Wirth and I did the segment with the great Mike Cairns, and we talked about the game, and then Mike threw something at me, and it's just a pet peeve. He asked me, what's the score? Why do we answer these questions? Why do we ask these questions? Predicting the final score of a football game is probably one of the toughest things to do in sports. It would be tougher to predict the final score, obviously, of a basketball game because there are more points scored. But the point being is you're not going to get it right. I didn't get it right. Dave didn't get it right. I don't know why this is a thing. I answered the question because I'm on air. I'm live. I like Mike. I work for them. But I am going to even say to my producers, can we not do this going forward? Because you're just making your analysts look inaccurate because they're not going to get it right. They're not. And if they do, it's more about how the numbers fall. There's a reason why in sports gaming, the top three most popular bets are a spread, the total points scored, aggregate by both teams, and money line, who wins or loses. Sportsbooks aren't making money on a bet, pick the final score. You can find it, I think, as versions of prop bets at the Superbook and some other places for the Super Bowl, but I'd like to see that go away. It's either who wins, by how many is fine. If I was asked how many is Indiana going to win by, I would have said roughly two touchdowns. In the end, it was six because Miami got a touchdown late and then did have the ball down six with an opportunity around midfield before Beck threw a game-ending interception. Just what's the score? You're just basically trapping people into what is a next to impossible question to answer. As an example of that, now that I've gotten that out there, there have been 18,234 games played in what is deemed by ProFootballReference.com as pro football history. I think they're only talking about the NFL, but they can't use the term NFL. I don't know if they're using, because they're not using UFL games, USFL games, XFL games. So I'm guessing this is just NFL and not even the old AAFC, which produced like the Browns and the 49ers. So let's, of the 18,000, and this is up to date through the conference championship games, of the 18,234 games, looking right at it, you can do it as well at pro.football.reference.com. All game scores in pro football history. And there are some scores that have never happened. Most of those involve twos and fours, by the way. Tough to get on that number, two and four. We're going to talk about that. And there's a reason we're talking about this. Of the 18,234 games referenced here in pro football history, in your mind, do you want to guess the most common final score? You have a few seconds here. It has been a result 302 times. By far, the most common final score in NFL history. And most recently done just a couple weeks ago. The overtime win, Rams-Bears. More games in the NFL have finished 2017, and it's not even close. So, you know what? If someone throws at you, hey, what's the score going to be? Just say 2017. You're not going to get it right, but you have a better chance than any other score, regardless of the trends of the teams. Rams beating Bears in the divisional round, 20-17, was the 302nd time we've had a 20-17 result in the NFL. That's 58 more than the second most frequent score. That's a lot. The second most frequent score is 27-24. That happened the week before Rams-Bears, Bills-Jaguars. So you're thinking, right, you were thinking, well, the two-point conversion has changed everything. Has it? We've got the top result just happened in the divisional round. We have the second most popular result happened in the wild card round. I'll go one further. The third most popular result is 23-20. That happened late in the season. The Bills struggled to hold off the Browns in Cleveland on December 21st. 23-20. That's happened 217 times. Finishing the top five, 17-14, although that hasn't happened now since December 18th, 2022, Chargers-Titans. 17-14 has happened 200 times. And number five is 24-17. That happened last week of the regular season this year. Washington-Philadelphia. And that's happened 181 times. A lot of the most popular results have all happened within the last season. Even down to number six, 13-10, Cleveland-Green Bay, September 2025. But of the top five, if you combine the top five results, 20-17, 27-24, 23-20, 17-14, 24-17, in the history of pro football, you combine it, those results, on average, one of them happens 5% of the time. You can look at that and say, wow, that's it. Or you can look at that and say, wow, that's almost once per week. Based on how many games are played each week prior to getting to the playoffs. Now, I'm going to take this a step further because something that's very popular this time of year are Super Bowl squares. Perhaps you know about these. I offer them in my golf tournament for prizes from Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, and I'll have some other grand prizes to give away if you have a winning square. It's a grid of, this is most common, 0 and 9, whatever the last number is of a team's score. So a possible square you would have for the upcoming Super Bowl would be, say, Seattle 0, New England 7. That gives you one of the best chances to win based on the odds of what we just talked about, how the most common result is 20-17, and I'm giving you Seattle as the favorite in that case. It doesn't have to be 20-17. You win on 7-0, you win on 10-7, you win on 17-10, and on from there. This is where I point out something I discovered in recent years. The worst square to have that gives you virtually no chance, and I've already talked about how games that have had no results often involve 2 and 4. If you get the square with, say, New England 2, Seattle 2, you are the least likely to win in the entire pool. Of the 100 squares, that one significantly is the least likely to hit. End of first quarter, halftime, third quarter, end of game, as we're talking end of results here. You could get to 42-42. That's probably your most likely. But are you going to get to that in the third quarter? Because in most cases, a tie doesn't get you the square at the end of the game. You need the end of game square, not the fourth quarter square. So 2 and 2, I call the Woolery for you, like me, Chuck Woolery fans. Rest in peace, Chuck, as he would throw to break on a popular dating television show called Love Connection. So the square, and granted, I'm giving you end result squares in pro football history. But I've already told you the top five results: 20-17, 27-24, 23-20, 17-14, 24-17. You add that up, you get over 5% of all NFL game results all time. And all have happened in the last 4 years. Some have happened in the last month plus. So the numbers you want 0, 4, 7, 3. Those are the numbers you want. You want both of your numbers in a square to be 0, 7, 4, and 3. There are some results in, say, the top 20 where there's a 6. The 8th most popular result of NFL games is 16-13. It happened this season. Vikings-Giants was the most recent. One does pop up, 24-21. That happened Cowboys-Eagles in November. One pops up as the 20th most popular result, 21-17. That was Dolphins-Saints this season. So if you get a number with a 2 or a 5, or an 8, or a 9, you're not likely to win. There was an odd situation in the Bucs-Chiefs Super Bowl where the end of third quarter square also was the end of game square, and it had a 9 in it. Very rare. So the squares you want, again, are a combination of 0, 3, 4, and 7. The 1 and the 6 are, you have a shot, but it's not good if you have a 1 and 6 in there. If you have a 2, a 5, an 8, and a 9 in there, you're probably not winning anything. So there's just some random stuff. If you're doing Super Bowl squares, or someone asks you to pick the final score based on history, based on knowledge, and how about this? If any of you are playing Super Bowl squares in any form leading up to Super Bowl 60, if you can prove to me via screenshot or otherwise, you landed on 2-2, the Woolery, send it to me via email at write.todd@yahoo.com, because I want to talk about it. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back next week to recap coaching stuff and some thoughts on Super Bowl LX. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. For a free consult, visit brandonlegalgroup.com.